Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. At a news conference in Wasilla yesterday, Republican lawmakers issued a request to Alaskans. Please stop showing up at our houses to plead with us about the governor's budget vetoes. Constituents also showed up in person in Wasilla to make their case. As Nat Herz with Alaska Public Media reports, those efforts are part of a frantic grassroots lobbying campaign that's hitting lawmakers from all sides.
After the Republican lawmakers finished their meeting at Wasilla Middle School, it was a hectic scene. Folks were milling around, eating from a table of free snacks. There were people taking pictures. And by the door, a conservative GOP senator, Laura Reinbold, was having a heated discussion with a couple whose daughters graduated from the state university system, which the governor cut sharply. Shirley and Jerry Dewhurst are in their 70s. They work in real estate, and they're not normally the types to be political advocates. But this time, Jerry says, they drove from their home in Big Lake to watch and to talk to some of the legislators.
We know we're probably the minority here right now, and that's all right. But we just believe in our education system. We believe in funding needs. We can't always just keep cutting.
Similar scenes are being repeated elsewhere in different corners of the middle school. Carol Ann Wolf is a retired social worker who drove to Wasilla from Anchorage just to have a conversation with Laddie Shaw, an Anchorage Republican representative. Shaw worked with her husband, and Wolf says she appealed to him on a personal level.
This is something, you know, that I can actually tangibly do, come out here to maybe have some sort of an impact. I just felt I'm feeling kind of hopeless and helpless right now at this point. I feel like this is a way to empower myself and hopefully make a difference.
Alaskans are approaching their legislators in person, but they're also calling and sending messages by email. Lots and lots and lots of messages.
There are literally people up at 4 a.m. that are sending us emails about the override.
Scott Kawasaki is a state senator from Fairbanks who's in Juneau for the legislature's special session. He spent 12 years in the state house before being elected to the Senate last year, and he says he's never seen this level of activism.
I thought there must be a mistake or there is some other service that's being utilized. Literally every 15 minutes, a new email was coming in.
Kawasaki is a Democrat who opposes the governor's vetoes, and he says he thinks the messages are about 20 or 30 to 1 in favor of overriding them. Nonetheless, some Alaskans are still pushing their legislators to sustain the cuts. Mike Coons of Palmer works with a conservative senior citizens group. He was in Wasilla asking lawmakers to uphold Dunleavy's veto of cash benefits to the elderly. He says the real hit to senior citizens was when lawmakers reduced the size of permanent fund dividends in recent years. He says he's made dozens of phone calls and listed off some of the legislators he'd contacted by their first names.
I've called Kathy, I've called Bryce, I've called Drummond, I've called, of course, I've called the Republicans, you know, I've called Bill Willikowski. You know, I mean, right on down the line.
How much of an impact all these calls and arguments are having is the $1 million question, or really the $400 million question, which is the amount of money the governor slashed from the budget. Reinbold, the Republican senator from Eagle River, who was arguing about the university system, answered that question this way.
We're listening. We are listening. When you ask if we're listening to people, we do have town halls. We do get on the radio. We do have emails. We do meet with people in our offices. So it's been very, very busy.
Another Republican senator, Mike Schauer of Wasilla, sounds inclined to support the governor's vetoes, though he says he's been having productive conversations with people who disagree with him. Most of the messages he's getting aren't from people in his district anyway, he says. And so right now, he's not being swayed.
No, I'm not, because we have to get this done. And nobody said this is going to be easy, because I'm having to look at people and go, hey, your agency is going to get cut. Your job might go away. That's not easy to look at people and tell them that, but I'm staying respectful and trying just to get people to understand that even now, the process isn't over.
After the window for overriding the vetoes closes, Schauer says, lawmakers can always come back and set aside more money in a supplemental budget if they decide they've cut spending too far. In Wasilla, I'm Nat Herz.
The stalemate in the legislature continued today. Most legislatures prepared in Juneau for a joint session tomorrow to vote on overriding 182 line item vetoes issued by Governor Mike Dunleavy. But they won't have enough votes unless a group of Republicans aligned with the governor who have been meeting in Wasilla go to the Capitol. While much of the focus this month has been on the vetoes, state senators in Juneau raised alarm about another budget issue. The money swept from state budget accounts into a harder-to-access piggy bank, the Constitutional Budget Reserve. Anchorage Democratic Senator Bill Walkowski says that if the legislature doesn't act soon, funds that pay for college scholarships, medical education, and making rural power costs equal to those in urban areas will be gone.
We can't wait until August or September, October, because this is affecting Alaskans' lives right now. This will continue to affect Alaskans. Students are going back to school next month. Energy costs are going to skyrocket in the next couple of months for rural Alaskans. This is not something that we can delay.
Walkowski says the legislature could discuss reversing the sweep of funds for these programs into the Constitutional Budget Reserve, but the legislature would need to call itself into a special session. That's because Dunleavy has limited the focus of the current special session to paying permanent fund dividends in the amount under a nearly 40-year-old formula of roughly $3,000. Dunleavy's administration has said it's sweeping $2 billion from budget funds into the CBR. That's much more than the $432 million swept last year. David Teal is the legislature's nonpartisan budget analyst. He says previous governors interpreted the amount that must be swept into the CBR more narrowly.
Why would you want to sweep these funds? And that's why I say not reversing the sweep is just throwing sand in the gears.
Teal adds that the Dunleavy administration doesn't seem to be shy about reinterpreting laws and policies. U.S. Attorney General William Barr declared a law enforcement emergency in Alaska after visiting rural communities facing some of the highest rates of violence without any kind of law enforcement. He's also pledging millions of dollars in emergency funds. On Talk of Alaska, former State Public Safety Commissioner Walt Monaghan and Tribal Rights Attorney Lloyd Miller discussed Barr's visit and its impact on the future of public safety in Alaska. KYUK's Christy Schallenberger reports.
Lloyd Miller, who has worked in tribal law in Alaska for decades, praised Attorney General William Barr's visit as, quote, unprecedented.
It wasn't just a photo op or a meeting with national or statewide leaders in Anchorage. He went
right
out to the villages.
But Miller says there's still a long road ahead for Alaska to carry out Barr's vision. Barr visited Anchorage, Bethel, Galena, and Nabuskiak as part of his four-day tour in May to see firsthand the lack of law enforcement in rural Alaska. During his visit, Barr said, quote, everything is on the table when it comes to solutions. That includes tailoring federal grants to match Alaska Native tribal needs. Miller says that's a significant shift in the federal government's attitude towards indigenous communities. But
he has to execute that shift. And to execute that shift, he really, he and his people need to sit down with tribal leaders and look at these grants they are supporting in Alaska.
Former Public Safety Commissioner Walt Monaghan says the solution must be more than just giving out money.
I am familiar where one particular community I'm thinking of did get awarded several million dollars in a grant, but they never were able to activate it because they didn't have the right people to know how to function it.
Mm.
So I agree with Lloyd that let's make the system suitable for the individuals and the communities that they were meant to serve and not live up to some kind of bureaucracy that unfortunately we get embroiled with in our Western world.
Tribal jurisdiction is another issue. Alaska doesn't have designated land or reservations like those in the lower 48, where tribes can apply their laws. But an amendment to the Violence Against Women Act could help change that. Alaska Representative Don Young proposed a pilot project that would allow five villages limited jurisdiction to prosecute crimes like domestic violence and sexual assault, regardless of whether the perpetrator is Native or not. Monaghan commended the proposal.
The idea is a good one, and I think that we should proceed in a way that it's closely monitored.
Miller and Monaghan had harsh words about Governor Mike Dunleavy's line item veto on funds for the Village Public Safety Officer program.
It's absolutely shameful. Alaska leaders talk all the time, many of them, in disparaging ways about the federal government. Get the federal government out of our affairs. We can take care of our own. We are self-sufficient. The federal government's meddling in our business and trying to control what happens. And then shows that it is absolutely incapable of governing itself.
I think a lot of the things that were focused on in the vetoes were primarily kind of the way I look at it, we're living for today. We're not worried or concerned about tomorrow.
Both men agree that Alaska Native tribes should be the ones to solve the issues around law enforcement, and the state and federal governments should support them. Meanwhile, the Justice Department has required its agencies to submit plans to tackle the public safety crisis by the end of this month. In Bethel, I'm Christy Schallenberger.
Commercial salmon trawlers in Southeast are done with their first king opening of the summer. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game announced that king salmon trawling closed just before midnight on Friday, July 5th. The fleet was expected to reach a harvest target of 56,000 Chinook by then. It was a shorter opening than last summer's, which had 2 weeks of fishing time. Looking at weather, current conditions at Juneau International Airport, 70 degrees, overcast. Tonight, widespread haze before 1 a.m. And a reminder from the National Weather Service, there's elevated concerns of Suicide Basin glacial dam releasing into Mendenhall Lake. Flow out of Suicide Basin is overtopping the ice dam. Previously, this has been a precursor to the start of a glacial dam release. This time, estimates are that the release could happen within the next few days, but possibly longer. When a release does occur, due to the large volume of water contained in the basin, Mendenhall Lake and river levels would likely reach or pass moderate flood level of 10 feet. And that's the KTOO News Update for Tuesday, July 9th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea.